Honey, I'll make money like you want me to. Big money. There's big money on the way from this website, see? But it takes time. You gotta give me time.
You'll never make big money with those reviews. You're a two-bit guy.
Honey, listen.
No guts, nothing. I want action.
Well, how about you just listen to this review we just did of The Raid 2, then?
Couldn't I just watch the movie?
Nope. Okay, here's a joke. What's the only thing that kicks ass more than The Raid?
Ooh, The Raid 2.
No, a traveling salesman.
Oh,
wait,
what?
No,
what?
I'm mixing up my... Something about a farmer's daughter.
Pope's in a Volkswagen.
Man, I am so bad at telling jokes.
You really shit the woods with that one.
But your answer is absolutely correct. The only thing that kicks ass more than the movie The Raid, even though it is scientifically impossible, The Raid 2 does in fact do it.
It is baffling physicists right now.
It doesn't make any sense. It's like dark matter or something. I don't know.
And you're currently listening to the Highly Suspect review with the only four guys who weren't beat up in The Raid 2.
Yeah, right? The only people on the planet, as near as I can tell, who still have all their limbs and digits.
I beat up a few people after watching it.
You know, it is one of those films, like, you come out of a racing film, you feel like you're going to drive real, you're worried you might drive too fast. You come out of this one, you're like, someone's like, hey, how you doing? You're like, what? What the fuck?
Oh, I came out of this terrified of Indonesians. I thought that's what you meant.
Well, I just found that every time I talked to people, I just kept going, ooh, because I got so used to doing that for 2 hours. Ooh,
ooh, oh. Anyway, I am Chris Cox.
I am Brian Salisbury.
JC DeLeon.
And I am Martin Thomas.
And we are going to, it seems like, all be on the same page about how badass The Raid 2 was.
Oh, I didn't see it. I keyed.
Just the trailer.
But it kicks so much ass, even if you didn't see it, you already know.
That's true.
I love the fact that I was when I saw this at South By, sitting right behind me were some, you know, very young 20-somethings, and one of them's like, you know, I never saw the first Raid. Is this going to make any difference? Like, well, whatever. You saw Dread, same difference.
Oh.
And I turned around and I was like, did you see The Raid? He's like, no, but it sounds like it was the exact same thing as Dread. I was like, okay. He's like, on the outside, it might seem that way. And whereas I like Dread quite a bit, it's a very different movie from The Raid.
Can we at least acknowledge there is a strong similarity between the two?
Absolutely.
Between the plots, yeah. Certainly. Which is the idea is a bunch of cops and Dread is just Dread and one chick.
Right.
And this one, a whole team of Indonesian cops are climbing up quietly through a drug kingpin tower when the kingpin, who's been expecting them all along, turns on all the locks, sets up snipers from around the building, and tells everyone in the building, kill them! And it turns into one of the bloodiest, most awesome action movies that mixes martial arts and heroic bloodshed style violence that I've ever seen.
Yeah, and very similar in plot to Dread, although it bears noting, and a lot of people don't know this, they were shooting at the exact same time at opposite ends of the earth, so it is one of those very unfortunate coincidences where you get something like Armageddon and Deep Impact in the same year, which, don't get me wrong, is a very unfortunate coincidence that you get both Deep Impact and Armageddon in the same year.
Was that a coincidence? I thought that was like one studio going like, hey, they're making a Comet Hits the Earth film. We got to start making one of ours.
It seems like Hollywood does that more often, but these were essentially two large budget indie films. There's no way they could have copied off one another.
Yeah, I agree. I think this one was a coincidence. The Meteor one probably was a little.
Now, when The Raid breaks out the you know, Judge Death, that's when I was like, wait a minute, wait a second.
That's what
here.
They're going to have to do with Dread 2 if they want to impress me. I'm just saying. But this one, the one survivor and the ultimate badass from the first one, played by Iko Uwais. Is that, do you have any idea if I'm saying his name correctly?
Dude, you don't say English names correctly.
Yeah, that's true.
I was pretty sure you were going to trip on this one. I don't know what it is.
It's pronounced Rafe. he was the rookie SWAT unit member who gets, you know, has this starts right at the end of that one, and he's basically being told by his boss, basically, look, we appreciate that you pulled out the kingpin of that operation. Now we're going to kill him and toss him away
well,
because
hold on.
He is a little fish.
Wait a minute. Hold on. It wasn't the kingpin. It was the dirty cop.
It was the dirty cop. Right. Yeah. He's like, well, that guy is a little fish. He, you know, if we even reveal that we caught him, it's going to make this whole this whole thing pointless, except for having grabbed him.
Right.
Everyone will know who you are. Everyone will quiet down. What we need to do is go after the whole big enchilada.
They're looking to unravel this network of corrupt cops. So what they decide to do in this one is to immediately put Ico back into the mix by getting him arrested and throwing him into jail, and then through undercover work, he's supposed to be rooting out this whole network of dirty cops.
Yeah, and it's definitely a much more involved plot.
It really is. I mean, and that's the thing about it for me. Like, I'm seeing it at midnight, and it's all these Indonesian actors who are kind of looking alike to me.
I didn't say it.
And it got a little hard to follow. Toward the end, I got it.
Yeah.
But in the middle, I was kind of like, I'm not sure who's on whose side here.
I had a little bit of that with going into this one, but I think if any dissension I heard from the first one, if anybody who didn't really like it, they kind of had the criticism that all it was just fighting, which is awesome.
Right. Which I don't understand as a problem.
Some people said there's not much of a story. Well, this one, there's a shit ton of story.
It really is.
And it borrows heavily from other popular sources and from various different Asian countries.
Yeah.
There's a good deal in cinematography and in sort of the darkness of it, of Park Chan-wook. There is a lot of Infernal Affairs in here in the story, the way it's built.
Yeah, I think I said to you after the screening that the great thing about The Raid 2 is it wasn't content with murdering people in its own Asian film, so it brings in characters from other Asian films and murders them too. Well. So.
Yeah, that's why Jackie Chan didn't show up.
Yeah, right?
And I was head cut off.
It's an injury he doesn't get up smiling from.
And, you know, much like the other one, the original, this one, you know, it prides itself, and as well it should, on some of the most incredible, well-choreographed, incredibly well and convincingly filmed violence you've probably ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes that, like, when you watch the story of Ricky, and it's pretty fantastic, but it's also funny how, you know, it's kind of fake, and you go like, yeah, who could possibly pull that off and make it look right? Well, they did it here.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, like, shortly after I watched this, I watched a generic Dolph Lundgren action film, and I was like, how did anybody ever like these? It's like I could do that.
We had nothing else.
And you watch these,
we didn't know.
You watch these guys. You watch these guys who were like the Baryshnikov of violence. You know, they're up there doing like incredible moves. And there's one fight that I don't even know how long it was. I think it was 15 minutes.
2 days.
Two days. Yeah, right. We're still watching it.
And you're still sitting there like every 20 seconds going, ooh.
I mean, my money's on Ico, but given that it's still going on, I'm not entirely sure. Not,
that fight is still going on.
Watching this so many times, I'm just like, always with the stabbing and the cutting, always.
Right. Well, to me, I'm just like, this guy has a non-ending supply of adrenaline.
Yeah.
Because there is no injury that he suffers that makes him stop and take a break.
Yeah.
And go like, hold on a second.
Oh, yeah, you're right. There's a little bit of Die Hard, too, then.
There is a little bit of Die Hard.
You can make a weapon out of anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
MacGyver as well. But, you know, but one of my favorite things that they add to this is the other element that's brought in is like a Beat Takashi Yakuza film.
Oh, yeah.
Suddenly
yeah.
you're crossing paths with the Yakuza and all the honor and like the honorable murder that goes along with that. Crashing right into, like, in several cases, literally crashing right into this Indonesian crime family who hire people that, I don't know, they ripped out of comic books or cartoons.
Oh, video games.
I don't know where these people could be. Like, I want to marry Hammer Girl, and I'm not sure what that says about me.
Julia Estelle, apparently is her name, plays Hammer Girl, is one of two very stylized assassins in this movie, which seems to be, for this type of movie nowadays, you have to have those sort of, like, the boss characters.
It is that thing. I mean, like this movie, what I realize the kung fu movies that impress me are the ones that know the science of escalation. Like, you can't have somebody fight a gangster and then a supervillain and then go back to a gangster. It has to keep building. Mm-hmm. But you get to these guys toward the end where, yeah, you've worked up to this point.
Well, you know, even better, like a normal, like normally you would expect the hero is going to have to deal with these guys one at a time, which is one, the two Hammer Girl fights people with claw hammers who is badass. There's a scene earlier on a subway where she basically just kills every commuter.
That's the thing. Like, that is the innovative nature of the violence in this movie is you hear Hammer Girl, oh, she hits people people with hammers. No! Nope. She turns them around backwards and stabs them with the hammers.
She just rips them to pieces.
What the fuck, man?
And then the guy who's...
I can't even remember if she actually hit anyone with the hammers.
And then there's baseball guy.
Baseball guy,
who walks around dragging a bat behind him and keeps, like, hitting people with a baseball. And
He knocks a baseball at 300 miles an hour. He misses the first shot.
Yeah.
Just let you know how powerful he is and says, hey, throw me the ball.
Throw me the ball back.
You're like, no.
No.
You just fucked up.
Yeah, it's like Anton Chigurh asking you to flip the coin. You're like, no. I'd rather not.
I feel like I'm going to lose no matter which
reception. I'm surprised that, you know, Baseball Boy had time to go after Ico in this movie, having to deal with those pesky warriors as well. Right.
The fact that, like, this movie, rather than say, okay, we'll have him, the hero, fight them one at a time, he has to fight both of them with their unique styles at the exact same time, which is one of the most impressive magic acts that this film pulls off, that the whole time both those characters are doing, because usually you see those scenes, you're like, oh, well, they're not as good now as they were earlier, and they're still doing this crazy, impressive moves. He's just that much crazier, impressiver.
Yeah. Well, but as is realistic, if you spend the whole time going, is he gonna win this one?
Yeah,
it really does look like he could lose this any second, because we know how badass they are and how tired he should be at this point.
That's one thing that's good about this, because you mentioned the Die Hard comparison. Like, one of the key elements of Die Hard is that John McClane gets the shit kicked out of him in the first movie, and every subsequent movie after that, he becomes more and more superhuman. Not so much this movie.
Right. No.
Rama gets fucked up, and you don't know if he's going to survive at the end or not, and it's...
Yeah, he's like in the last... God, this is a 2.5 hour long movie.
Yeah, it's a long movie.
Yeah, I had no idea it was going to be that long.
The whole, like, final fight is an hour, pretty much.
I know.
It's like one thing after another, building in constant as he's working his way through people.
Well,
and it really, halfway through that, you're like, I have no idea how this guy's standing.
Right, right. And it's funny, like, I remember we were watching this, and I kept thinking to myself, there's no raid. Like, no one's being raided. There is no actual... And
shut up,
you get to the last act. You get to the last act and you realize, oh no, here's the raid, when he goes in Bruce Lee style into his own game of death in this building that starts literally in the parking garage and ends on the top floor.
Yep.
And
his damn self.
Yes.
And I would say, like, that fight with those two is really a super impressive. Followed by a fight which I was like, man, this is that fight that you couldn't even dream of between Wolverine and Sabretooth. Nobody has ever even come up with it, and it's right there, giving you everything you could ever want.
And knowing while you're watching it that if this was a Marvel film and the fight between Wolverine and Sabretooth, it would suck by comparison.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is this guy, Gareth Evans, who makes these films, you know, the white guy who went to Indonesia.
This Welsh dude who just lives in Indonesia and makes amazing martial arts films.
He is one of the best directors of martial arts movies ever, or just action movies, who's ever lived. I mean, I don't even, like, all right, so when we saw this film, when we didn't see this film the first time, because the print was screwed up and there was an ugly audience who was freaking out.
Oh,
there.
My God.
The star was there. The two stars were there, or two of the stars were there, including Ico and the director, and they're trying to placate this ugly audience by actually doing martial arts.
They could have just gotten up and said, fuck all of you, you're being assholes, we're leaving.
Well, no. They could have said, fuck all of you, went out there and kicked their asses.
Yes, exactly. That's what they should have done.
You're watching them do the martial arts action fight between the two guys, which is... Those two have the biggest, most impressive fight in the movie.
Yeah.
The long, I don't even know how long it was, 20 minutes or so fight. They do it on stage, and it's really impressive, but you can also see that they're not actually connecting when you see it on stage. This is where the mastery of not just those guys who are great at what they do, but of this director comes in, of knowing just how to shoot these things so you never feel like there was a single hit that did not
That's
connect.
True.
And all, without cutting every millisecond.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. It's not quick cuts. You get to see everything, and it's all so very bone-crunching. And the thing that impresses me the most is that, it's 2.5 hours long. Normally, like, that's like an hour past my threshold for these kind of things. And yet, I never got bored. It kept me interested. I was just like, wow, they just keep getting better and better. Matter of fact, the closer we got to the end, the more exciting it was.
And let's not forget the car chase sequence.
Yeah. We've been talking about the fighting all along. We haven't even mentioned the amazing car chase.
That's the thing about this movie that I think a lot of people have a little trepidation about, is that a lot of the appeal of the first movie is that it's all very self-contained. It all, you know, it's a box movie. It's a fishbowl. Like, everything takes place in that building. And when you take that conceit away and it's spilling out onto the streets, there's one of two ways it could go. It could be really muddled and really, you know, unfocused, or it could be this. And it seems like with this movie, they were like, oh, if you thought we were dangerous in the box, just wait until we hit the streets.
So you might say it's the Arkham City to
the Arkham Asylum. Yeah. Absolutely, I would say that.
Yeah, it definitely goes bigger. Its scope is wider. I mean, it's clear that movies don't cost as much to film in Indonesia, because if they made this...
Nor do people cost as much.
Yeah. Nor they just really kill those requirements as strict.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know exactly how much this costs. I don't even see a budget listed on the Wikipedia page here, but it could, you know, I mean... This is a $300 movie in America. They probably made it for $30 there. And there are sequences, like, during this crazy fucked up car chase, one of the best I've ever seen set to film. Mm-hmm. It was like, alright, so just point out one tiny thing out of 100 things that happened during that car chase. He's fighting with guys in a car that's swerving out of control. There are other cars chasing it. And at one point he knocks, beats up one of the guys by punching him, his head out the window. So it bashes against another car going by.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What just happened?
And there's like a, like the way that, Friedkin shot French Connection type of mentality to this car chase. Mm-hmm. Cause at one point there's a downed motorcycle, and the car that is clearly carrying the camera smashes into it. Like right before the cut, you can see it actually hit that. And it reminds me of the shot from the French Connection where the car runs, it runs off the road and it kind of comes at the camera, and you see like there's a wobble and you realize, oh, that hit the rig. That car just kind of went off on its own and hit the camera rig. So it's that kind of level of like just, you know, of recklessness almost, but so much fun to watch.
I do want to caution people who may be like, okay, I love Jackie Chan films. Maybe I'd like this. It sounds like something I'd like. Jackie Chan films, not all of them, but the grand majority of them are relatively bloodless. There'll be some ooh moments for sure. Yeah. Where you're like, oh, that guy did not get up and walk after that. This movie, every fight's got 9 or 10 things where like, wow, that is a broken bone. There's no denying. And it is bloody.
This is a sphincter clenching movie, because you will spend most of the movie just like completely
people getting shit cut off of them, blood spraying everywhere.
And not fake looking blood.
Not at all. Yeah. I was telling Brian, I was like, dude, we just saw the 300 sequel.
Right.
Which you're like going, you look at it, you're going, well, if it's that bloody, you got to give it that they probably have to.
Well, the movie was sponsored by Smuckers.
And then you watch this, which clearly, if it had CG, it was just touch-up CG, which you couldn't tell at all, that's using real blood squibs everywhere and constantly, and you're like going, I'm sorry, 300, you lose.
Yeah. And they're not afraid of it either. Like, when somebody gets stabbed, I think this is what JC was saying a minute ago, when somebody gets stabbed in the leg, then that knife is coming all the way up to the thigh. Yeah, like, it's not just one stab.
I don't know how they fake that.
Yeah. Looks like it hurts for real.
Yeah, I didn't see anything in here that didn't look convincing to me, which is surprising with almost any movie, especially these days, because, you know, everybody wants to just cheap out and use CG. This is a perfect example of, like, and in it as much as I'm sure they did use some of it, it was so just touch-up that you never noticed.
I really like the way they CG'd Bruce Campbell's head onto the bad guy here, because he looks like an Indonesian Bruce Campbell. He
totally does.
And at points during the movie, he's covered in mud, he's got a shotgun, there's blood all over his face. I'm like, okay, now come on. You guys had to have known he looked like Bruce Campbell.
Well, they were throwing a lot of influences into this, to be sure, none of which ever made you go, oh, they're just ripping that off. No.
They were ripping it apart.
They're ripping it apart. I love the shit out of this film. I'm just going to final thoughts on this one. This is arguably the finest action film I've yet to see, quite frankly. If you're in it for actual action, if that's your point, you want to see great fighting, you want to see convincing fighting, you want to see it done as art. And boy, is it ever. This is as good as it gets. And I am going to give this 10 out of 10 brutalized Asians.
Yeah. I mean, I think absolutely, especially if you love the first one, this one has so much more to play with, which should not scare you away, because they really know exactly how to pursue all of these new avenues that are afforded to them by getting out of that building. And yeah, the fights are just spectacular. The car chase, like, that's the kind of thing you wouldn't expect from a Raid movie, is to have a really tremendous car chase, but that's exactly what this has. And even still, I really liked the story going on here. I know a lot of people have kind of criticized the movie for having either an overly simple or kind of a weak story, but I actually really liked what they did with the story here to kind of make it a little bit more complex and really expand the world of the first one. And yeah, I mean, overall, I think I would give this movie, at the very least, I would give it 9 out of 10 insurance claims.
So. you get the sense in the first one that even though it was kind of a simplistic story, like, there's a much bigger world here. And this is delivered to you in spades in the second movie. Fantastic fighting, the amazing car chase scene. Gareth Evans wasn't satisfied to just give you another movie that's similar. Like, he put in the effort, expanded the story. I love every second of this, and I would say 10 out of 10 broken legs.
Oh, that was going to be... Okay.
Break something else.
Quick. You can literally break anything else.
That's true. There's plenty to break. I was baffled when I saw the first Raid, only because I had a month of people saying, have you seen the Raid? Have you seen it? Oh, man, it's going to be awesome. It's incredible. And I had no idea what I was going into. So to see it, I was like, well, it was a good kung fu movie, but you guys made it sound like it was the next Second Coming. So it's still good. Now, had it been this, I'd have been like, oh, well, yeah, I totally get that. Because it is. I mean, I'm impressed by something that could be this long, that could still hold my attention and keep me locked into it. Yeah, if you are wanting an action movie, this is going to satisfy you in that way that it might ruin you for watching other action movies. That's probably like the biggest caveat to it. And that... I don't know. I didn't think the story was so simple. It was just I wasn't prepared for there to be so much. It's surprising, but it's hard to come down on a movie for having too much story. I mean, it does. By the end, it all plays out in a way I was like, you know what? I'm glad all that was there. It makes it make sense. Yeah, I would give it 9, maybe even 9.5 faces full of broken glass.
No hard few of those. You know, I admit I am a rather sedentary person, but...
Well, finally someone admits it.
But, like, I feel like watching this, our greatest athlete is a lazy bum compared to right? This lean guy. Yeah. You'll watch this and go, I need to go back to Planet Fitness.
Michael Phelps is a blogger now compared to these guys. And I have to say, please, Hammer Girl, keep hurting him.